We had read to us a passage in Psalm 46, verses 9 through 11, the last three verses of the psalm. And in order to get the full impact, I think we need to read the full psalm, all 11 verses of it. Hopefully we will do that so that you can fully understand, just get the full impact of what it is that the sons of Korah are speaking about. But I want us to, within that passage, in verse 10, we have the phrase that I wanted us to consider, and that is, "Be still and know that I am God." I want us to talk a little bit this morning. I want us to consider that our culture is an extremely busy and noisy culture. It is the culture that we live in is different than cultures throughout history, and even today in this century, in other parts of the world, the cultures are not quite as hectic, as busy, and as noisy. But ours is. The United States, 21st century, here in America, we do have a noisy culture, a busy and hectic culture. And so I just want us to consider that sometimes we need to just stop. We may have a job that requires a lot of our time, or we've gone the next step to having jobs, plural, that may require even more of our time. We have responsibilities with social gatherings or family gatherings that require us to prepare and to be there and take up some of our time. It's enjoyable time, but it requires a lot of time when we do that. We have responsibilities at home. We have responsibilities to the church. These are just the good things that are requiring our time, our time in our schedules. That's already busy as it is. We hit the floor running, so to speak, and we don't stop till we drop. Those are a couple of phrases that just come to mind, and it's true of our culture. We're busy from we get up when we've got things planned for the day. We start crossing things off our checklist, and we don't stop until late in the evening, and we don't plan to rest and to relax and to take some time. Many times we don't do that. Many times people they don't have that schedule. It is scheduled into their day. We see that even Jesus, when he was during his ministry, he would stop. He would go up into the mountain and he would just have some alone time with God. He would just pray with God. He would come back refreshed and strengthened for the next day or for the next thing in his ministry. It wasn't just go, go, go. There was a time for resting and relaxing. I just thought of this now. Something that came to mind, so I didn't include it in the PowerPoint. But I was reading once that our hearts would last only about a couple of days or whatever it was, a couple of weeks, if it didn't stop each time it beat. If it didn't have that pause each time it beat, if it was just constantly nonstop, we'd be dead while we were still in the womb. Even our hearts that go all the time have a rest in between each beat. And it's important that we remember that we need to stop, slow down. I'm not saying that we be lazy. That's not what I'm saying at all. I'm saying that sometimes we need to stop. And the best time to stop is when we are going to spend time with God. That we're going to spend time drawing closer to God, speaking with Him. We have such sayings as silence is golden. You know, and there's many other sayings that come, and cliches, and when you think about the schedule, the hectic lifestyle that we lead, in this culture. We move from one responsibility to another, from one meeting to another, from one appointment to another, whether or not we're finished with the previous one or not. We sometimes just barely are finished. We kind of have to hurry up to finish because we're running late for the next responsibility that we have. And so when I was preparing this, I made it a point to take my time as I prepared it. It struck home because, you know, I'm preaching to myself when I preach this lesson. It's just one thing after another, after another, after another, after another. The only one person I know that was busier than I am, and well, I don't think she's that busy anymore. But time has become our enemy. You know, a lot of times we don't just say, you know, it's the end of the hour or something. It's, you know, the end of the day. I use a phrase that if anybody hangs around with me any amount of time, they'll hear it every so often. The sun is against us now. And that basically means now you're fighting to try to get things done before the sun sets. You may have started in the morning. You may have planned to be done by a certain time. But now the sun is against you. Now the sun is every moment it's moving down. It's against you trying to finish, get done before the end of the day. But God didn't design us for this type of existence. He didn't design us to be constantly running, constantly stressed and hectic. He designed us so that we would be busy. That's good that we're busy. It's good that we're not slothful or lazy. God wants us to do things, but He wants us to have some rest also. He says, "Be still." When you read that psalm, you understand that there's wars going on, there's hectic lifestyles going on, there's all sorts of things going on, and God says, "Be still, and know that I am God." Those two things go together. Our souls need some quiet time, and I want us to look at three different things this morning that we can do while we are being still. One is that we can be still and listen to God. Be still and listen to God. In 1 Kings chapter 9, verses 9 through 14, we have the story, the account of Elijah. And this is the full account of Elijah, but we have a specific part of it. 1 Kings chapter 19, and starting in verse 9 and going through verse 14. We read, "Then he came to a cave and lodged in it, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said to him, 'What are you doing here, Elijah?'" Now again, I usually stop when I come across something like this and just point it out because it's easy for us to skip over it. And God does not ask him. The Bible does not say God asked him. God told him or said to him. It's in the interrogative, but there's a reason for it. God's not asking him, "Fill me in. I don't know what you're doing here." God is pointing out something to Elijah. In the interrogative, he wants to point something. It's like when you tell your child, you know, "What have you done?" And you know full well what they've done, and they need, but you're focusing on something. And so he said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And he said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. And I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away." And he said, "Go out and stand on a mount before the Lord." And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore the mountains and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, the sound of a low whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And behold, there came a voice to him and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And he said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with a sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away." So he was depressed. He was depressed. But God comes to him and says, "Go out, stand before the Lord." He's going to go out there, and all these things happen. And this isn't just God wasting time or demonstrating that He can control the weather, the elements. God is going to teach him something, and the Bible says he wasn't in the wind, and he wasn't in the earthquake, and he wasn't in the fire, but in the gentle breeze or the low whisper. Elijah needed to calm down. Elijah needed to just let things go. He was wound too tight. He didn't know what to do. And so he just hid himself in a cave. Sometimes that happens to us. Maybe not under the same circumstances as Elijah. Maybe nobody's seeking to kill us. Maybe we haven't reached that point of desperation. But sometimes we need to stop. We need to calm down. We need to step back. And we need to listen to God. We need to be still and listen to God. Now, there have been other occasions where God has been. With Job, God spoke to him out of the whirlwind. And so it could have been, you know, he could have been speaking. He could have spoken to Elijah out of the wind had he wanted to. In Numbers chapter 16, with Korah, when he opened up the ground and it swallowed Korah, and then they set fire to those who were offering the sacrifices, and God spoke, so he could have spoken through the earthquake had he wanted to. In Exodus chapter 3, verses 3 and 4, Moses sees the burning bush, and when he's drawn to it, God speaks to him from the bush, so God can speak to somebody out of the fire. God could have spoken to Elijah out of any of these. It's not that God doesn't use those. He could have, but he didn't. What he did was he chose to speak to him from gentle breeze or the low whisper. Life was already too hectic for Elijah. He was already too wound up and depressed. He didn't need God talking to him out of those things. What he needed was this, and that's exactly what God did. You see, listening, when somebody speaks in a low whisper, you have to pay attention. You have to listen to what they're saying. And listening is an important part of any conversation. It's not just us talking to God. It's not just us telling God about what kind of problems we have and what we are begging Him to help us in. It's listening to God also. It's a two-way conversation. And especially when things are hectic in your life, especially when things are going wrong in your life, when you're wound up, when things are not going right and they're hitting you one after another, after another, after another, after another, after another, after another, you need to just stop. And you need to just say, "Okay, I need some quiet time, not by myself. I need some quiet time with God. That's why I need some quiet time. But I need some quiet time listening to God as much as praying to God." Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 7, says there is a time to be silent. Now, usually we talk about that in conversation, the time to speak and the time to be silent. But sometimes it's much broader. Sometimes it's in our whole life. It's not just in a conversation with somebody for a few minutes, but sometimes we need to be silent for a while and just calm down and listen to God in our life. In James chapter 1, verse 19, this is what the principle James is speaking about. In James chapter 1 and verse 19, people have a tendency to, when there's a situation, to want to discuss their point of view, what they're thinking, what they want to say, and sometimes, and that's good for us to discuss things like that, but sometimes we need to just stop and listen. In James chapter 1 in verse 19, it says, "Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger." Quick to hear. You got to listen. And that there's nowhere in your life where that's more important than when you're listening to God. Be quick to listen. Abraham Lincoln had a quote, "It is better to remain silent and let other people think you're a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt." Sometimes you just need to just keep your mouth closed and just listen. Don't spout off. What you say may be important, but just stop and listen, especially when it comes to God. Now you say Abraham Lincoln was pretty smart about that, but if you go to Proverbs 17:28, that's pretty much where he got it from. Even a fool is thought wise if he keeps his mouth closed. That's pretty much what Abraham Lincoln was saying. We need to learn that, especially when it comes to listening to God. Did I say that before? Well, I'll say it again. We need to do that. Listen to God. When we have problems, when our life is hectic, when things are not going our way, we get down to talk to God and we spend some time. Listen to Him. Our tendency is to say everything that's on our mind. However, we have to listen to God and stop explaining our ideas to Him. Second thing that we can do when we are still, not just listen to Him, but be still and know God. That takes it one step further. Not just listening to Him, but getting to know Him. Know the way He thinks. Know what He expects of us. Know what He promises to us. Getting to know God. If we want to be like God, we have to know Him. There are times when we just need to stop, quiet down, and just let it all soak in. Just let it all soak in. That's what Psalm 46, 1 through 10, or actually 1 through 11. In conflicts, in all sorts of conflicts, we need to stop and get to know God. In Acts chapter 17, verses 22 through 27, Paul is telling the Athenians there. Notice what he says, and I'm going to start with verse 22. But it's actually verse 27 that I wanted to focus in on. And starting in verse 22, he says, we read, "And so Paul, standing in the midst of the Areopagus, said, 'Men of Athens, I perceive that in every way you are very religious. For as I passed along and observed the objects of your worship, I found also an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God. What therefore you worship as unknown, this I proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything. And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and boundaries of their dwelling place, that they should seek God in the hope that they might feel their way toward him and find him. Yet he is actually not far from each one of us. When we are seeking him, he says that we're hoping that we might seek him, might try to find him. If you, even if you're a religious person and think that you're walking with God, even if you're basically a nice person and you haven't given your life over to Christ and you haven't become a Christian, you need to stop. You need to just get closer to him and let it soak in. So whether there's conflicts or whether there's no conflicts, whether you're very religious and you feel you're very close, you need to stop. It's something for everybody. In Zephaniah chapter 1 and verse 7, Zephaniah talks about the hypocrisy. And so even if you're leading a religious life that pleases you and you're not interested in God like they were, whether you are in error, whether you're in truth and spirit, it applies to you. Zephaniah says, be still and know that there is a God. In Luke chapter 20, verses 21 through 26, even those who opposed him, when they dealt with him, had to keep silent when he answered them. Even if somebody opposed them, there was a time that they just needed to keep silent. They needed to just hush because of his answers to them. And so it applies to everybody. It applies whether you're faithful or whether you're opposed to God. It applies whether you're sincere in your religious practice or whether you're hypocritical. It applies whether you're in error or whether you're in truth. It doesn't matter. You need to be quiet, be still, and know God. And so you need to be still and listen to God, and be still and know God. And the third thing I want us to consider, the next step, is that we need to be still and honor God. Be still and honor God. Habakkuk 2:20, and I want us to read that because we have a doxology that that basically takes comes right out of Habakkuk 2:20. Let me find it. I know he's in here. There's Nahum. Okay, there's Habakkuk. All right, Habakkuk 2:20, it says, but the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. And we use that phrase, but when we think about that, we are his holy temple now. If God is with you, if God is in his holy temple, we need to keep silent and honor him with our bodies. In Mark chapter 3, verses, chapter 4, verses 35 to 41, when Jesus was in the stormy sea that was scaring his disciples, even the stormy sea became calm when he told it to. And he's telling us to be calm, to be still. Even the stormy sea knew to obey God. Something that people don't quite understand and obey. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 8, when we're praying in our secret room, when we're talking to God, we need to be silent and honor God.
the phrase he uses, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed, holy be thy name. He is worthy of veneration. He is worthy of worship, of honor. He's worthy of our reverence. Let me get to the conclusion here. I want us to go to Revelation chapter 8 and verse 1.
I want to take something out of that very first verse there in Revelation 8. It's easy for us to kind of read right over that and kind of skip over it or miss it. Then the Lamb opened the seventh seal, and there was silence in heaven for about half an hour.
There's silence for about half an hour. If you were there, supposing this was a literal half hour, what would you do with that half hour? What would you do? Everything that's been going on, all the seals, all the trumpets, everything that's been going on, what would you do when all of a sudden there's silence for a half hour? It's like everybody's holding their breath. Like the creation is just waiting to see what happens. What would you do? Would you pray for a half hour? Would you cry? Would you hold your breath too? Or repent? Have to take that moment, the half hour, and just repent of what you were doing? What would you do? Because you do have that time now. You do have that opportunity to stop. To be still. And listen to God. Know God. And honor God. Ask yourself, do I ever just listen to God? How well do I know Him? Do I honor Him with my silence? Do I? Because you can. You can do it today. You can do it the rest of your life. You see, we can either let circumstances control us, or we can control them. God tells us, be still. Be still. It's something we can do regardless of what's happening around about us. Jesus could do it. The apostles could do it. We can do it. And so the question then comes, have you done it? Are you a Christian this morning? If you're not a Christian, then you haven't done it. You have not done that. You may have been still, but you haven't reached the point where you are listening to God, knowing God, and honoring God. You can do that this morning. You can make that right. God says you have to hear the word and believe it. It has to be a belief that causes an action, not just assenting to it, not just saying, oh yeah, okay, that's true. But I mean, it has to be, the Bible talks about it, it has to be a belief that causes an action within you. Causes you to repent of your sins and confess the name of Christ, be baptized for the remission of your sins. Then you remain faithful until the end, you receive the crown of life. It's already paid for. It's a free gift. It's not free in the sense that it didn't cost anybody anything. It's free in the sense that Jesus paid for it. And He gives it to us. If you're not a Christian this morning, you can make that right. If you are a Christian, maybe you've sinned. Taking your eyes off the celestial things, off the heavenly things. Maybe you let circumstances control you. You repented. You've asked God for forgiveness. You can ask us for prayers. We'll be glad to pray for you, to help you in any way that we can. Maybe you're going through trials and tribulations. Maybe you're overwhelmed or you feel overwhelmed.
you want us to pray for you for wisdom, for strength, for intervention. We'll be glad to do that. Maybe something good has happened to you and you want to share that. The Bible gives us authority to rejoice with you. You want to come forward and let us know so that we can rejoice. Whatever your situation, would you please come forward as we stand and as we sing.
How beautiful the thing.